Acts chapter 17, boy, it's a great recording, a great record of one of Paul's messages. And we look in verse 15. They that conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. So Paul has fled because of controversy. You know, everywhere Paul went, there was controversy. And the reason is because there were Jews that were jealous of him and that hated his message. And so they made it their life's goal and purpose to follow him and break up every revival meeting he held. And he'd be preaching and they'd get people stirred up. In fact, he'd been at Berea, and it says, if you recall the phrase, they were more honorable and that they had a readiness of mind and they searched the scriptures daily. And I encourage you, you know, when you, especially when you go to church or listen to preaching, have your Bible with you and open it and make sure that what they're saying is what the Bible says. And let's challenge. I challenge my own thoughts. Do you ever challenge your own thoughts? You need to. Do you ever challenge your beliefs? Make sure. Challenge your beliefs and make sure you're right. Only one thing I want to do is be true. I want to be true to God, true to God's word. And I sometimes hear things or read things and I say, God, if I'm wrong about this, change my heart. You know, if this is something I need to be doing, God, change my heart. I just want to do God's will, want to please him. And so Paul was preaching and they ran him out of town. There were some Jews from Thessalonica that came and caused some trouble. So now he's going to Athens. He says, send for Timothy and Silas, bring them to verse 16. While Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city given wholly to idolatry, completely to idolatry. How can we not be stirred up today? As Christians, how can we not be stirred up with the attack on morality and Christian standards that we're seeing in our country today? I can't control what goes on in the whole world, but my first concern, of course, is our community. You know, and it's going on in our community, but especially how the whole media is trying to reach our children through the advertising and the cartoons and all that they're doing. There's an attack on morality, but not just on morality, also on Christian standards. Man, if you have standards, people think you're crazy. If you live by a certain code, live by the Word of God, and you don't want to be compromised, and you have standards, and you know, I'm just shocked at how freely vulgarity and profanity flow from the mouths and from the writings of people who even consider themselves to be Christians. That wasn't loud enough. I'm shocked. Now look, I get it. There are people, especially you guys that, and ladies, I guess, that were in the military, and that's what you heard every day, and you just thought that was language. You didn't know it was a bad word, you just knew it was a word. You know, I understand that that's where some people learn that. And I understand that some people hear that from their parents. There are words that there were cuss words I thought my dad made up. And I can remember the first time I heard somebody else say that, I say, he must know my dad. Because my dad uses that word. Now, that was before he was saved. But I remember I used to hear those cuss words, and I thought that those were words only my dad used. But guys, we ought to be stirred up at what's going on in our country. We ought to be stirred up what's going on in our community. We ought to be stirred up about what's going on in our schools. We ought to be stirred up. Paul sat in a place where he really had no need to be there except to minister. And as he sat there and he looked at a bunch of strangers doing a lot of strange stuff and having a lot of strange idols, he was stirred up. He said, man, we ought to be able to do something about this. When we look at our world, it's got to be in our hearts. We've got to be able to do something about this. The dismissal of truth and standards. and Jesus. You can talk about any kind of vulgar thing you want to, but if you talk about Jesus at work, somebody will file a complaint. Well, I'll tell you something. It's time that we start filing some complaints of our own. It's time that we start pushing back and start raising the flags and saying we're not going to tolerate it, not going to put up with it. Paul sat there and he got stirred up in his spirit over what was going on. We've got to do more than just mourn and bemoan the loss of Christian values in our country. And we come in here and say, oh, yeah, it's so terrible. It's just awful. And we tell stories. It's just so awful. But what are we going to do about it? What can we do about it? Well, what did Paul do about it? It says, verse 17, therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him. You know what Paul did? Paul was public in his stand against false worship. One of the biggest things that we need to take a stand against is materialism in our culture, where people think more stuff is what, you know, that's what life is all about, is having more stuff. No, that's not what life is all about. But it's being promoted. Again, the advertising, the commercials, the media, driving and pushing. Paul was public in his stand where they called wrong right and right wrong. And have we reached that point here? Yes, we have, long time ago. But now we're reaching that snowball effect where it's just been going on and it's got momentum. And how do you stop it? How do you stop it? Paul disputed. Paul disputed. Now look, we don't have to be ugly. We just need to take a stand. Just make a suggestion. Just simply say, do you have to use that word? Do you really need to talk about that here? Do you think that's appropriate thing to say in front of my children? Do you think that's appropriate thing to say in front of mixed company? And if y'all don't understand what that means, because that's an old phrase, I guess, that means men and women are in the room. You're supposed to use, you know, not that you're supposed to talk ugly in front of other men, but you're not supposed to talk ugly in front of ladies. And then I hate it when I say something like that and the girl says, or the woman says, oh, you don't have to worry about me. She's probably the most vulgar one of all half the time. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Standards are gone. And you know what's wrong? Is that it's so far now. Because a generation ago, parents decided we didn't want to force religion, force Jesus on our children. So those children have never even heard the gospel in a compelling way. They don't understand what it means. We've reached the point in our country, and even with people that go to church, where they think, well, as long as you're a good person, that's what it takes to get to heaven. Wrong! There is none righteous. No, not one. Our righteousness, the best I can do, is as filthy rags. You say, what's a filthy rag? That's what you flush in the commode. That's how good we can be. It's lousy, it's terrible, it's awful. That's the answer. And so, we don't have enough righteousness in us. We can't do enough good to get to heaven. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us as sinners. Jesus died for us sinners. His blood was shed to wash away our sins, to forgive our sins, so that we could have the righteousness of God. He rose from the grave the third day to give us victory over death. He gave us eternal life. He's risen for us. So we have the righteousness of God, not good deeds, not good works, not church stuff, not religious stuff, salvation through Jesus Christ alone. But people don't understand the gospel because churches don't even preach the gospel. I do a lot of funerals, been to a lot of them lately. And weddings, have a wedding scheduled this Saturday. They said, well, Are you going to have an altar call? I said, well, we're not going to have an altar call, but there'll be salvation delivered through the wedding message, wedding sermon. Okay, well, that's okay. Let me tell you something. If you have an event and it's and you're somehow celebrating me, you're celebrating that I've passed or whatever, you get people together, preach the gospel. That's it. Preach the gospel. Give them a chance to get saved anyway. That might be the only time they have a clear presentation of salvation. Because the generations, they stop going to church, stop taking them to church, stop preaching the gospel in church, we're in trouble. Paul was stirred up in the spirit. And if we're not stirred in our spirit, you know, it's like the old preacher said, y'all are dead and just don't have the courtesy to fall over. I mean, that's how it is sometimes. People just so dead in their spirit, they've just given up on living for God, given up hope, given up on love. Guys, I don't know if we can turn our country around. I don't know if the Lord's going to, if His coming is far enough out to do that. But I'll tell you something. We've got to reach the young people in our country, and we've got to show them the way of Christ, not only salvation, but also discipleship. We got to get some people living right, or we're not going to want to live in what's left. The solution is not in the governor's mansion or the White House. The solution is in God's house, the church house, and God's people. But it's not enough to sit in here and talk about it and cry about it, and it's not enough to pray about it. We got to do something about it. We got to go out there where they are. Paul went to their synagogues. Paul went to the professors and the teachers and the philosophers. Paul went in the marketplace. And you know what he preached? He didn't preach about abortion. He didn't preach about homosexuality. He didn't preach about all the stuff that people don't want to hear. He preached about the main thing people don't want to hear, but they need to hear. He preached Jesus. There's no point getting on the subject of rainbows and unicorns until you've dealt with the issue of salvation. I know the world's gone crazy. I know that we have adopted mental illness as something that we just say, well, it's normal. It's not normal. It's never going to be normal. It's a sign of something's wrong. But he was willing to question them, and he was willing to challenge them. Again, we don't have to be ugly. We just need to offer Jesus. Just offer Jesus. That's what it says he did, right? In verse number 18, certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Others, he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods. Here it is, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. What's the point of the resurrection? Two things. Number one, there's no value in a dead Jesus. And number two, not only was his resurrection important for who he is, but his resurrection established our eternity. And we'll have life beyond the grave. And people got interested because he took a stand. You ever have somebody come to you at work and say, hey, I appreciated how you took a stand back there. They came to you in the shadows like Nicodemus. They caught you. They wouldn't stand with you while everybody was listening, but they came to you later and said, hey, I appreciate you taking a stand. Again, we don't have to be ugly. We just need to make a statement. My God wouldn't like that. My Lord wouldn't want to hear you say that. Jesus isn't happy with that behavior. People wanted to hear what he had to say because he was willing to take a stand. Verse 19, they took him and they brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. Again, how strange do you think Bible doctrine is to these kids in public schools? How about to the teachers in the schools? How about to the administrator? Guys, I'm telling you, the ones who are in charge now, the parents let them down, didn't make them go to church, didn't drag them to church, didn't teach them God at home, didn't teach them Jesus at home. Well, you got to do that when they're babies. We got to establish that when they're babies. How do you do that? Sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Let them know that God loves them. Let them know that Jesus loves them. Start early. They said it's new. There's no point getting mad at them. They don't know any better. They weren't raised well. They weren't taught right. And now we come along and we're trying to help them to be better, to live better, to be happier, to have a fulfillment, to understand, hey, I didn't come from a monkey or a tadpole. God made me on purpose. Give them value. They say it's new, it's strange. We never heard of this before. But look at what it says in verse number 20. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. We want to understand it. And I think that's the part that the church doesn't understand. We've got this fear that people are going to be angry when we talk about Jesus. But the truth is, if they had a well-explained explanation of who Jesus is and what the Bible represents and how to get to heaven, I think they'd appreciate that. We would know. They want to know. You think there's somebody in your office that wants to go to heaven? Or somebody in your neighborhood that wants to go to heaven? Or somebody you deal with on a regular basis that would rather go be with Jesus than go to hell? Imagine so. We just got to stop hiding. I think it's wonderful that we talk about it in here. But as I look around, I bet everybody in this room's already, at least in your mind, you've established a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't know, or if you haven't, right now you can, from your heart to God's heart, pray and say, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus died for my sins, and I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul, and God, I give my life to you. Right now you can pray. As I look around, with few exceptions, I know you have a testimony of salvation. Verse 22. Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. They said, we want to know. He stood in the midst of Mars Hill. He looks around. He sees all of their idols with inscriptions. And he said, y'all are too superstitious. Any of y'all remember a time in your life where you thought, boy, if I do that, I'll go to hell? You remember ever thinking that in your mind? Well, if I do that, I'm going to go to hell. And I still have people tell me that. Well, I couldn't do that, I'd go to hell. You know, I'm not going to hell. I'm not. You know why? Because the Son of God, the perfect Lamb of God, was crucified on a cross, and that sinless blood was shed to wash away all my sins. They put him in a tomb, and the third day he came out of that tomb to give me life eternal. I'm not going to hell. And you don't have to go either. He said, you're too superstitious. There are a lot of people running around concerned they might do something wrong and end up in hell. I can't do something wrong and end up in hell. I can't. Verse 23, he said, as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. He said, I'm here to tell you his name. You don't know him, and I'm here to tell you his name. People will say on, you know, social media, they'll say, I appreciate all the thoughts and prayers and positive energy. But let me tell you something. Thinking good things toward me is not going to help me. Having positive energy toward me when I'm not in your presence is not going to help me. But you could, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can go to the Almighty and say, God, help Derek. That might help me. But people say, well, you know, thoughts and positive energy. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to encompass everybody that believes in anything. I was on a tour, South Korea, and the guy that was with me said to my friend, give me some money. Let's give the money to the Buddhists and they'll pray for us. When you believe in Jesus or you believe in Buddha? Well, I know it's not Christianity, but it won't hurt. It's idol worship is what it is. Paul said, let me tell you about that one. You don't know his name, but I do. Verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, he dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Let me tell you this morning, you would not be alive but for God. Verse 26, and he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord. That's God's desire, that we should seek the Lord, that all should be saved. That's God's desire. They should seek the Lord, verse 27, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. You say, well, I don't really know how to get to God. He's coming to you. God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then God sent me to tell you that Jesus loves you. That God will forgive all your sins if you'll ask him, if you'll trust him. He said, like a blind man walking, he says, they happily might find him. Isn't it incredible that sometimes we just stumble into the right place or the right channel, the right person? God's not been far from us ever. Verse 28, in him we live and move and have our being. Certain also of your own poets have said, we're also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the God has like gold, silver, stone graven by art of man's devices. He says, look, we didn't come from idols. We didn't come from nothing. You say, Pastor, is that proper grammar? Yeah, we didn't come from nothing. God stepped out of nowhere onto nothing and said, let there be light. And there was light. God's design did not stop with the creation of the earth and the heavens, but he continued. In fact, we get to Jeremiah, and God says to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. You say, but I know, I didn't come because of God. I came because my mom and dad got together. No. Before I formed thee in the belly, I was created. I was designed by the Almighty. And so were you. On purpose, with purpose. It's not enough for us to commiserate over the decline of our nation. We We've got to start carrying this out there and use the word, the name, Jesus. He preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. Once he challenged them, people became interested in what he had to say. But as long as he was willing to let them have the dominance, nobody cared what Paul believed. We've got to stop hiding in the shadows. We've got to take a stand. Again, we don't have to be ugly. We don't have to shout them down. All we have to do is bring up Jesus. You know, I've seen people just fold like a book when you bring up Jesus. All of a sudden, they're religious too. There was a fellow at a U-Haul counter one day, and this is 20, 30 years ago. I still remember his name. His name, Jimmy Carter. Right? I mean, it's kind of hard to forget that name. But he was just a cussing and a fussing.
But he was just a cussing and a fussing. And all of a sudden he said, where are you moving? So they started talking. And I said, I'm going past the church. And then he said, I'm a deacon. In my church. Well, I wouldn't have told him that.
God, we love you. We're thankful for your blessings in our lives. We pray you'll draw us to you.
God, we love you. We're thankful for your blessings.
God, we see what's going on in our world, and we're alarmed for our children. We don't want to live in a world that's run by people who are godless and faithless and have no morals and no standards and no boundaries. God, we want people of integrity, but first we've got to be people of integrity.
God, we want people of integrity.
And we want to share our faith. That souls will be saved, that lives will be changed, that hearts will be refreshed and renewed. So God, we accept the challenge today. I pray if there's anyone in the sound of my voice that doesn't know you as their God and their Savior, that right now they'll pray to accept Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for their sins. Use this time for your honor, Jesus. Y'all, church open if you want to come and kneel and pray. If you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to. But you can pray from where you are, from your heart to God's heart. This is your opportunity. Church house, in the marketplace, among the philosophers and the teachers. God, use me. That means you've got to get in the Bible and know what it says. You've got to be able to answer some questions. You've got to take us answers. All right, anything else we're dismissed? Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night at 7. Pray for those who are here. Lots of people out. I think most of them are just traveling, which is great. Probably went to go see the leaves change, right? So, but pray for them while they're away. Anything else? Let's go to the Lord and dismiss prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Andy to dismiss us, please.